podcast is brought to you by the Erasmus Plus Panda Project on participation of young children in child welfare and child protection.
I'd like to say hello to Ravit. Ravit, rather than me introduce you like I did Esther previously, would you mind introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, hello, thank you. So I'm a lecturer at the University of Haifa in Israel, and I used to work in the field with children and young people at high risk. Today, I'm more involved in interventions that happen online with young people through a chat that we operate and allows us to communicate with young people. In terms of research, my research topic is decision making and risk assessment around child protection. And a core issue in terms of this topic is also how children can participate in decision making, children and young people, of course. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting topic around decision making and risk assessment and children's participation in that. I know that in the UK, for example, one of the things that social workers have been criticised for in serious case reviews is the fact that we don't often hear or listen to the voice of the child that well. So it is a big issue, Ravit, yeah?
And can I also say that it's also an issue in research as well, because if we don't involve children in research, then it's another way of not hearing the voice. And if I just can add to this that I'm a member of the COST organization, EuroCan, and we are now working on a book which will all be dedicated to children's participation in research. It's called Children and Child Abuse Survivors Participation in Child Maltreatment Research, Principles, Ethics, and Methods. And it will deal with specific examples from different countries in Europe about how children are involved in research. So just wanted to add that extra bit. And as well, it is challenging in research very much as well.
Yes. I mean, some of the issues that I have been reading about children being involved in research, which is quite interesting, is that sometimes when we talk about children's participation, we talk about it from an adult point of view. And even in research, when we talk about when we do research on children's participation, quite often we don't involve children in the research itself, but yet and all we talk about the importance of children's participation. I'm sure your book will be quite valuable in adding to our understanding of that, Ravit.
Yeah, and I must admit that I myself kind of in my research avoid approaching children. I did a research about children brought to case conferences. And I avoided speaking directly to them. And again, I think that leads me to the issue that you mentioned that we discussed before about, I think it's more values, perceptions, cultural atmosphere, and what kind of a theory you have in mind about children's participation. And I must admit that I did a lot of learning and a lot of I had to change my mindset. So
Esther, what's your view on this?
I think that in our Panda project we are having the same issues, okay, that how is possible to involve children under 12. I think that is a big challenge for the professionals and practitioners. And we would like to know about your experiences, how is the most important or useful for the professionals to involve them? Because when I'm talking the participation in decision making, I think that the professionals, we don't have any problem to involve the young people. Okay, because we are thinking that maybe the rise is something, or the rise is possible to do, and it's possible to communicate more and to know the concerns, the desires. But what happened with the children under 12 years? What happened with the professional? And what happened in our context with the law? Because in all countries, we have the same, more or less the same law and the convention. But it's a big challenge for the professionals, okay? So it's true that maybe we have the theoretical, the values, and this kind of the perspective, but in fact, when we are have to work with children under 12, we have more challenges for the professional. So in this, talking about this, we would like to know, Rabbit, your experiences, or maybe if you can give us some advice or to how we can to promote the participation with the children under 12, and of course in your experiences in your organization.
Okay, I must say something about the division of under 12 and young people. I know that it seems that it's easier with young people, but again, I think that there are different levels of participation. Some of them are not really participation, and more about, I don't know, some kind of engagement or involvement. And something that I found in my study was that not meaningful participation did more harm than good, because it made young people shut themselves down, and they were like afterwards disconnected. And they didn't want anyone to approach them. So in a way, it was kind of when it was tokenistic, when it was not meaningful, so it did more harm than good. So I think this is something that we need to think about as well, because they want to be respected, and sometimes we think that we participate. We allow them to participate, but they are not well respected as adults. So this is an issue, something that I was thinking about when you did the division about the ages. And in terms of young people, I think it was, as I was reading through your theoretical understanding, I think it's this is what I found. It's a lot about the issue. I really like the theory about how you understand the sociological perspective. How do you understand childhood? And in the field of child protection, I think it's very meaningful. And it's also you have to this desire to protect the child. And this is what I saw as a key aspect when in practice, the issue of understanding and accepting children's rights as rightful human beings. And I think that this is something that made a change between not participating children, or only letting them be involved in a very instrumental way, to the some kind of an understanding that this is a basic human right and this is their right. Because sometimes you hear things like social workers kind of wanting to protect the child, and then you say to yourself, but this is the reality he is living in. You don't need to spare him the details of his reality. And you know, so you conceal things from the child. You don't want him to participate in a forum that disguises their life. Because they think it will trouble them, but then again, it's their life. And so there's a lot of values involved, moral values, and I think it's not that easy. And it goes to the understanding of childhood, I think. This is something that I think that is very crucial.
Yeah, that the sociology of childhood, to me, is a really valuable way of understanding our approach and attitude towards children. It's, I mean, lots and lots of adults and lots of social workers still see childhood as something less than adulthood. So if you're not an adult, you're not an agentic, valuable person who can contribute something, you're still something which is less than. And if you see children as less than, in some way deficient, in some way incompetent, in some way not as sensible as adults, there's always going to be the danger that you will not involve children in decisions that affect them. But one of the things that strikes me about the theory of the sociology of childhood is that in some ways, if you take that theory to its extreme end, it's something that can facilitate the abuse of children. Because if you see children as less than, not as important as, it in some ways enables you to treat them less well than you would another adult. So if, say, for example, I think a child is less important than me, that might in turn enable me, embolden me, facilitate me to hurt that child, because it's just a child. What's the big deal? I really think that the sociology of childhood, that theory, is incredibly important for social workers to really understand. And as well, when we're thinking about decision making and assessments, if you don't value the voice of the child, you're less likely to involve the child in decisions. You're less likely to involve the child in assessments. And what we know from research is that the less children are involved, the less well-developed are their protection plans, the less well we understand the world from their perspective. And it becomes an adult-centric service.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know I was talking about decision making, but if you look at the long-going contact of social workers with the family. So I'm saying things that were that I found quite a while ago, and I really hope that the situation is changed. But I heard a lot of social workers saying, yeah, I saw the child. And then I was, okay, you saw him and it was mainly seeing, it was not talking to. So they could see him in a home visit, they could see him in some kind of a committee in school, but it wasn't talking. It was basically literally seeing the child. And if I can pick up on what you mentioned, there's a nice a model that tries to expand like an ecological perspective. And if I'm thinking what you mentioned, so we need to see how children are acknowledged or valued. Mm. Not like we can start in the family, we can start at school, we can and we can go on and on and on, you know, like in the circles that the mesosystem and see how it is in the entire community and in the culture. So I think that this is a very a wider perspective that we need to think about, because the interaction between the social worker and the family is just the beginning, and there's a lot of context around them. And I don't know, when I read the theories, I was thinking that what if something will change now in terms of technology, you know, that kids are mastering technology better than adults, and maybe we can have some kind of a change here. Like I certainly run and ask my kids for help in anything that goes around in my computer. So maybe it will be some kind of a change that allows us to better appreciate them and as adults and the one that can help us instead of just protecting them. And so I don't know, that's just a thought.
Yeah, it's a good thought. Esther, you're interested in an ecological and systemic approach as well.
Yeah, of course. I think that from my personal perspective, when I'm working with families and children as well, is you can focus on all other perspective, as Rabbit told before, okay, because it's not only to try to assess the what happened inside the family, what happened around the family, what happened in other contexts that the children are involved. We need, I think that the professional, the social worker, the practitioner, need to know other contexts that the children are involved and the families are involved, and to hear what happened in other contexts. Because I think that when you are working with a open theoretical model, you open your mind that we are working with children. And of course, the way that you create this kind of the relationship and the communication that Rabbit told before, the most important is, okay, maybe I can see the children, I can see the family, but maybe I never ask about what are you thinking about this or your concern or the desire. Okay, so I think it's very, very important to incorporate this kind of the, I think not only just one theoretical or one approach, a lot of theoretical approach that could make more available the practitioners or how the practitioners are working with the families, and to evaluate what real, what happened, and incorporate the children in decision making. And of course, I think that this kind of the theoreticals and the pros is more open to evaluate other contexts that maybe sometimes we are very, very focused on the children and in a small context, but the children is more than the family context.
I think as well that, you know, listening to both of you, Honneth's theory of recognition can play quite an important part here, because we have to recognize children for who they are, recognize them as rights holders. It's not that we give rights to children, it's that we are recognizing that children are rights bearers in themselves, not by virtue of the fact that we have given them rights, it's by the virtue of the fact that they are entitled to rights the same way that adults are. So it's about, for Honneth, it seems to be about recognizing the importance of children, deserving of love, recognition, support, respect, in all aspects of both social work, education, health, society. It's about recognizing the value of children and recognizing the value of childhood. Because I mean, I know from myself, and Ravit, you've said about, you know, your children helping you with the computer. I know that I have learned lots from my children themselves. So it's not that I am the adult and I teach children or I impart my knowledge. Children are affecting me as well. They are imparting knowledge to me. And I think that that recognition is reciprocal. When that reciprocity happens, it's a wonderful thing for children and adults together.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if I can add to it, I think that theory can help us in terms of reflecting our practice, like sometimes because we have different we can look at participation on a spectrum and or maybe levels. I'm not sure the way you want to visualize it, but we can use theory in order to ask ourselves, okay, what are we doing? Like, I really like the Lonely division of space, voice, influence, and audience. So we can look at the practice and say, okay, maybe I've given the child a space to speak. Like I may invite him to the room. I may set a meeting together with the children, but then I need to ask myself, was he allowed or she allowed a voice? Were they allowed influence? Were there like really real audience there? So I think that theory can help us reflect and see what are we doing and what level of participation we are allowing. So I think it's good to have theoretical concepts in mind.
Mm. Yeah. Esther, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I totally agree with Rabbit. Okay, and for me, sometimes we are talking about the theoretical. Okay, I think that I would like to separate more philosophic theoretical that we have to keep in mind, another more for the practice and the professional, how it's possible to work with. Okay, because I think it's a combination of both. Okay, but talking about the honest approach, I think it's more philosophical that we have to keep in mind, but how is possible to cross or how is possible to work with these ideas in the practice, okay? Because it's true that we are thinking in this, okay? But how is something value for the professional and when I'm working with on the social process interventions, okay? So I think that I totally agree that this kind of the perspective is really, really interesting for the professionals to keep in mind. But the more challenges is how we can incorporate in our practice working with, because we are conditioned for multiple factors, the institution, your background, your other colleagues, the children, the families, and your perspectives about the childhood. Okay, so, yeah, and for me, I would like to ask Rabbit and you, Paul, as well, to talk more about how we can incorporate this, or what is the most important thing or value in the practice of the social work, or in your personal and professional perspective, what kind of the approach or the theoretical model can help the professionals to involve the children in participation making?
Yeah, I mean, I probably agree with you, Esther. Honneth is very philosophical. One of the ones that for me, the theory for me that has got quite a lot of application to practice is Bourdieu. So take, for example, a case conference. Bourdieu talks about power, capital. How much capital you have will dictate how much influence you have. So if we as professionals have got a lot of capital, we know the system, we know the law, we know the policies and procedures, we know the language of child protection. That gives us a lot of capital, a lot of power in the case conference. Children in our society don't have a lot of capital. They don't have a lot of power. And the danger in that is, in a case conference scenario or in an assessment scenario or in a decision-making scenario, the voice of the child is ignored because they don't have power, they don't have influence. And I think if we embrace that idea of Bourdieu and that sense of capital, of habitus, of status, it can really help our practice, because it makes us more sensitive to the power structures that dampen down a child's voice.
I totally agree. And there is something about, I did some research about multi-professional work and multidisciplinary work, and also you can see there the some professions who really hold their power and they don't. It's not so much about democracy. It's more about certain professions making the decisions. So so it's much more. There's another step to go in terms of allowing children the power, but I'm thinking that just research and the literature starts to show us that there's no way around these. This is the solution. This is the answer. We need them involved. We need them. We need to follow what they think, and otherwise, it's not going to work. And I think that this is something that can make a change in our perception and in allowing them the power. The rightful power to make decisions about their lives. So
I totally agree. And Ravit, that is an excellent way for us to end our podcast on, because we've talked about the theory and we have talked about the application of theory and your summary about it's important, it's absolutely critical that children are involved. It's their right. to be involved is a really good way to end our podcast. I would just like to say, Ravit and Esther, thank you both very much for contributing freely to the podcast, for sharing your ideas, and for talking openly about what you think about theory, because sometimes it can be a little bit hard to get our heads around theory. But when we've talked all together, I think we have made some inroads into shedding some light on how the theories can be understood. But as Esther says, the important thing about theory is that we apply it to practice. So, guys, thank you very much.